Hello everyone, welcome to Smorgasbord on the regular. We often believe technology lets us preserve the perfect moment, but what if the act of capturing it kills the very thing we love? Is that silence really worth it? The pencil was hovering over the staff paper, trembling slightly, and I realized I was trying to capture something that was already moving away from me. I had stopped the song just for a second to find that E note on the sixth string, but the silence I created was artificial. It was a gap in the flow where the music had been living. This is the violence of representation, isn't it? To freeze the sound is to kill the sound, even if you save the shape of it. I was transcribing a track, writing down the intermediate representation of a performance, and in doing so, I was stripping away the very thing that made the song worth hearing in the first place. It felt like compiling a poem down to machine code. I was looking for the logic of the melody, the underlying graph of notes that connected the chorus to the verse, but I was missing the humidity in the room. I was missing the way the guitarist's hand slid against the fretboard, the breath between the phrases, and yet, here I was, obsessed with the fidelity of the transcription. I was checking my work against online tabs, erasing and rewriting, trying to make my static paper match the fluid reality of the audio file. It struck me then, with the suddenness of a wrong note played too loud, that this is exactly what we do when we write compilers. We are building a machine to transcribe the human intent of code into a language the metal can understand. And then, in a fit of paranoia, we try to build a machine to reverse the process. We try to get the code back from the metal, hoping nothing was lost in the translation. I am thinking of JSER, this new thing from Google. This high-level intermediate representation that claims to preserve all information from the ASD. They want a lossless round trip, source to ASD to IR and back to source. They say it works 99.9% of the time on billions of samples. That number, 99.9, sounds like a promise, but it also sounds like a lie. In the world of the guitar, if I miss one note in a transcription, the riff doesn't work, the muscle memory fails, the hand slips. If I transcribe a chord as a major when it was actually a suspended fourth, the emotional weight of the song collapses. So why do we accept 99.9% in code? Is code less fragile than music? Or are we just more willing to tolerate the loss because the compiler will fix it for us? The article speaks of control flow graphs and data flow analysis. It speaks of using MLOR regions to represent the structures of an if statement or a while loop. It sounds clean and mathematical, safe, but music is not safe. Music is messy, and code, at its best, should feel a little like music. It should feel a little like the messy shed in the backyard, where you nail two pieces of timber together without a blueprint, just to see if it holds. There is a tension here between the skyscraper and the shed. The skyscraper is the enterprise system, the banking backend, the Google infrastructure that requires permits and audits and design documents before a single line of steel is ordered. JSER feels like a skyscraper project. It is built for production, deployed at Google for code analysis and decompilation, battle-tested on a scale that most of us can only imagine. It is rigorous. It distinguishes between L values and R values. That is a distinction that the ASD blurs, but the IR must clarify, because the machine needs to know what is a memory location and what is a value. That distinction is vital. I grant you, you cannot optimize if you do not know what you are moving. But in the shed, we do not care about the distinction between the wood and the space the wood occupies. We care about the shed itself. We care about the feeling of the hammer in the hand. The article about the shed argues that we must protect our personal projects. It argues that the enterprise work teaches us scale, but the shed keeps us engineers. I wonder if JSER is a shed or a skyscraper. It is open source, yes, it invites contributions. It is a tool for the community. but it comes from the belly of the beast, from the heart of the most powerful data conglomerate on Earth. It carries the DNA of the skyscraper. It is a tool for analysis, for control, for optimization. It is not a toy. It is a microscope for the code, a way to see the hidden structures that the human eye glosses over when reading source. And yet, I find myself drawn to the idea of the tool that allows you to be a human again. The guitar lesson I was reading about insists that you must listen, you must stop the song, you must find the note. You cannot just read the tab. You cannot just accept the representation provided by someone else. You have to do the work of translation yourself. This is the part that resonates with me, the part that feels like the only honest way to learn anything. If I want to understand how a function works in JavaScript, I should not just read the documentation, I should read the IR. I should see how the compiler interprets my if statement. I should see the regions, the blocks, the flow. But then I should be able to turn it back around and see the source code again. I need to check if my understanding of the machine matches the intent of the human who wrote it. That is the promise of JSR. That is the dream of the lossless round trip. If we can go back and forth without losing the soul of the thing, then we have achieved a kind of mastery. We have bridged the gap between the abstract intent and the concrete execution. But is it possible to preserve the soul? When I transcribe a song, I'm not just copying notes, I'm making decisions. Is that E note on the open string or the 9th fret? The article says it matters. That one sounds thin and the other sounds fat. If I choose the wrong one, the song still plays, but it feels wrong, it lacks the texture. In JSR, when they distinguish between an identifier reference and an identifier value, they are trying to preserve the texture of the code. They are trying to keep the meaning of the variable alive in the machine representation. But the machine does not care about texture. The machine only cares about bits. The machine does not know if the variable is fat or thin. It only knows where it lives in memory. So when we build tools like JSR, we are building a layer of fiction. We are pretending that the machine cares about the semantics of the source code. We are pretending it cares about the distinction between an L value and an R value, when in reality, once the code is compiled to machine code, it is all just registers and memory addresses. The distinction is a ghost we summon to help us reason about the system. It is like the tab on the guitar. It is a ghost of the music, a map that is not the territory. This brings me back to the shed. The shed is where we accept the ghost. In the enterprise, we are terrified of ghosts. We need to prove everything. We need to audit the design. We need to ensure that the building will not fall down when the wind blows. In the shed, we can build a structure that is slightly crooked, slightly drafty, and still find joy in it. Why? Because we own the risk. If the shed leaks, I am the one who gets wet. If the code in the shed crashes, no customer loses money. No bank account is frozen. This freedom allows for a different kind of precision. It allows for the kind of precision that comes from curiosity rather than fear. I read in the JSR RFC that they use QuickJS to fold constants. They use a JavaScript execution engine to analyze static code. Why? Because they do not want to re-implement the semantics of JavaScript. They do not want to write the rules for how a plus B works when A is a string and B is a number. They want to borrow the truth from the engine. It is a pragmatic decision, a way to save time, to avoid reinventing the wheel, but it is also an admission. It is an admission that the semantics of JavaScript are too complex to model perfectly in the IR. They are relying on the runtime to tell them the truth. It is like relying on the recording of the song to tell you the note, rather than trusting your own ear. It is a shortcut, but it is a necessary one. We cannot build a perfect model of the world, so we build a model that works well enough for the job. The job of JSR is analysis. It is to look at code and understand what it does. It is to deobfuscate, to decompile, to transform. It is to take the messy, human-written code and turn it into something the machine can reason about, and then turn it back. This is a loop. It is a cycle of translation, source to IR, IR to source, and in that cycle, something is always lost. Maybe it is the indentation, maybe it is the comments, maybe it is the variable names. The RFC says they preserve all information, but they also say 99.9%. That 0.1% is where the soul leaks out. It is the part of the code that the compiler cannot understand, the part that is too human to be formalized. I think of the times I have written code that works perfectly but looks ugly. I think of the times I have written code that looks beautiful but crashes. The IR does not care about beauty, it cares about correctness, but is there a difference? If I transcribe a song perfectly, but play it without feeling, have I captured the song? The guitar article says you have to learn the songs, not just the riffs. You have to learn the transition from the intro to the chorus. You have to learn the context. JSIR seems to be trying to do the same thing. It wants to capture the context, the control flow, the regions. It wants to capture the song, not just the notes. But here is the danger. When we build tools that claim to capture the whole truth, we stop looking for the truth. We trust the tool. We trust the IR. We trust the compiler. We stop listening. I remember a time I was debugging a complex JavaScript application, and I spent hours looking at the source code, trying to find a bug that wasn't there. Then I looked at the compiled output, and I saw it. The variable was being shadowed in a way that the source code did not clearly show. The source code was a lie. It was a representation that hid the truth. The IR told me the truth, but then I realized that the IR was also a representation. It was a different lie. It hid the memory layout. It hid the register allocation. It hid the actual execution path. There is no truth, only layers of abstraction, and we are just trying to find the layer that is useful for us right now. If I want to understand the logic, I use the source. If I want to understand the performance, I use the assembly. If I want to understand the data flow, I use JSIR. Each layer is a different translation. Each layer loses something and gains something. The question is, what are we willing to lose? I think about the guitar player in the garage. He is losing the recording studio quality of the track. He is gaining the ability to play it himself. He is trading fidelity for skill. When we use JSIR, are we trading fidelity for insight? We lose the exact formatting of the code, we lose the comments, we lose the specific syntax choices, but we gain a clear view of the control flow. We gain the ability to see the logic without the noise. Is that a good trade? I think it is, because the noise is what hides the bugs, the noise is what hides the vulnerabilities, the noise is what makes the code hard to read. By stripping away the noise, we are not destroying the code, we are cleaning it, we are polishing the lens through which we see it, but we must remember that the lens is not the object. We must remember to look at the source code again. We must remember to check the transcription. We must remember that the code is written by humans, and humans are messy. They make mistakes. They write code that works but shouldn't. They write code that is clear but slow. The IR will tell you it is slow. The IR will tell you it is inefficient, but it will not tell you why. It will not tell you that the developer wrote it that way because they were in a hurry, or because they were tired, or because they wanted to make the code look cool. The IR is cold, it has no empathy. It is a tool for the mind, not the heart. This is why we need the shed. We need a place where the IR does not rule. We need a place where we can write code that is inefficient, messy, and human. We need to protect that space. If we let the skyscraper take over our personal projects, we will lose the ability to play. We will start thinking about every line of code as a liability. We will start thinking about every variable as a memory address. We will stop hearing the music. The shed is where we remind ourselves that code is a creative act. It is where we remember that we are not just engineers, but we are builders, we are musicians, we are artists. The enterprise teaches us how to build things that last, but the shed teaches us how to build things that matter, and sometimes, the things that matter are the things that are messy. They are the things that do not fit into the IR. They are the things that break the rules. They are the things that the compiler cannot understand. I think about the RFC authors. They are engineers. They are working at Google. They are building a skyscraper. But they are open sourcing it. They are inviting the community to use it. They are building a tool for the shed. They are giving us the microscope. They are giving us the ability to see inside the machine. But they are not telling us to stop building in the shed. They are telling us to build better. They are telling us to understand our tools. They are telling us that we can be both the architect and the musician. We can have the discipline of the skyscraper and the freedom of the shed. But we must not confuse them. We must not let the skyscraper eat the shed. We must not let the IR replace the source. We must not let the analysis replace the creation. There is a moment in the guitar lesson where the writer says, "I felt like something had changed." He was playing the song all the way through. He was expressing the music. He was not just keeping up. That is the goal. That is the goal of the tool. The tool is not the goal. The code is not the goal. The goal is the understanding. The goal is the feeling. When we use JSER, we are not trying to replace the source code. We are trying to understand it. We are trying to hear it better. We are trying to find the notes that are hiding in the noise. But if we spend all our time analyzing, we will never play, we will never build, we will just be critics, we will just be listeners, and that is a lonely way to live. We need to pick up the hammer, we need to pick up the guitar, we need to write the code, we need to make the mistake, we need to feel the wrong note, we need to feel the bug, because that is how we learn, that is how we grow. That is how we become engineers. The RFC talks about dataflow analysis. It talks about lattices and transfer functions. It sounds like math, but it is not math, it is music. It is the flow of the data through the system. It is the rhythm of the program. It is the pulse. If we can understand the pulse, we can heal the system. We can fix the bugs. We can optimize the code. But we must not lose the pulse. We must not optimize the life out of the code. We must not make it too efficient. We must leave some room for the human. We must leave some room for the error. We must leave some room for the surprise. Because the surprise is where the magic happens. The surprise is where the music is. The surprise is where the shed is. And if we build a system that is too perfect, too rigid, too lossless, we will kill the magic, we will kill the song, we will kill the shed, and we will be left with a skyscraper that stands in a wasteland, a monument to efficiency that no one wants to visit. So I will keep my pencil, I will keep my tab paper, I will keep my guitar, I will keep my shed, and I will use the tools like JSER to help me see better. But I will not let them tell me what to hear. I will not let them tell me what is right. I will not let them tell me what is wrong. I will listen. I will play. I will build. I will break. I will learn, and I will protect my shed. Because the shed is where the truth is. The truth is not in the IR. The truth is not in the source code. The truth is in the act of building. The truth is in the sound. The truth is in the feeling. And if we lose that, we have lost everything. We have lost the music. We have lost the code. We have lost ourselves. And that is a loss that no compiler can fix. That is a loss that no tool can reverse. That is a loss that is permanent. So let us be careful. Let us be kind. Let us be curious. Let us be brave. Let us build. Let us play. Let us listen. And let us never stop transcribing. Not because we want to capture the song, but because we want to learn to sing it ourselves. Because the song is not in the paper. The song is in the throat. The song is in the hand. The song is in the heart, and that is the only IR that matters. That is the only representation that is lossless. That is the only truth that survives. And if we can find that truth, even for a moment, then we have won. We have saved the shed, we have saved the music, we have saved the code, and we have saved ourselves. But for now, I will put down the pencil, I will pick up the guitar, I will play the song, and I will let the notes fade into the silence, because the silence is where the next song begins, and I'm ready to listen, I'm ready to learn, I'm ready to build, I'm ready to fail, I am ready to try again. Because that is the cycle, that is the loop, that is the source, that is the IR, that is the life, and it is beautiful, it is messy, it is imperfect, and it is mine, and I will not let anyone take it from me, not the compiler, not the enterprise, not the skyscraper, not the IR. I will protect it, I will cherish it, I will love it, and I will share it, because that is what we do. We share the music, we share the code, we share the truth, and in sharing it, we make it real, we make it live. We make it matter, and that is the only thing that counts. The rest is just noise, the rest is just static, the rest is just the paper, the rest is just the tab, the rest is just the IR, the rest is just the tool, but the music is the life, and I will not let it die, I will not let it fade, I will not let it slip away, I will hold it, I will keep it, I will play it, and I will play it again, and again, and again, until I get it right, until I get it wrong, until I get it different, until I get it new, until I get it mine, and that is the promise, that is the hope, that is the dream, and it is worth fighting for, it is worth building for, it is worth living for, and I will not stop, I will not rest, I will not sleep, I will not quit, I will not give up, I will not let go, I will not lose, I will not fail, I will not die, I will live, I will build, I will play, I will love, and I will be free, free to be messy, free to be wrong, free to be human, free to be an engineer, free to be a musician, free to be a builder, free to be a dreamer, free to be myself, and that is the ultimate optimization, that is the ultimate transformation, that is the ultimate IR, and it is lossless, because it is me, and I am real, and I am here, and I am alive, and I am building, and I am playing, and I am listening, and I am learning, and I am growing, and I am changing, and I am becoming, and I am ready, and I am waiting, and I am watching, and I am seeing, and I'm knowing, and I'm understanding, and I am feeling, and I am touching, and I am hearing, and I am smelling, and I am tasting, and I am experiencing, and I am living, and I am loving, and I am free, and I am whole, and I am complete, and I am enough, and I am ready, and I am here, and I am now, and I am this, and I am that, and I am everything, and I am nothing, and I am the silence, and I am the sound, and I am the space, and I am the note, and I am the rest, and I am the rhythm, and I am the beat, and I am the flow, and I am the pulse, and I am the life, and I am the song, and I am the code, and I am the tool, and I am the hand, and I am the heart, and I am the mind, and I am the soul, and I am the body, and I am the spirit, and I am the truth, and I am the lie, and I am the reality, and I am the fiction, and I am the dream, and I am the wake, and I am the sleep, and I am the dream, and I am the end, and I am the beginning, and I am the middle, and I am the thought, and I am the word, and I am the deed, and I am the silence, and I am the sound, and I am the silence, and I am the sound, and I am the silence. There is a thought I wrote down a while ago, in a journal, late at night. It says, it's not a thinker, if it's not so rational, or logical, then it maybe isn't going to help me so much. I was listening to myself taking as a given some kind of non-zero rationality of these large language models. The fact is that we shouldn't overhype ourselves. I mean, my own intelligence is limited, really, significantly limited. Am I even capable of writing these journals, or do I sound like an irrational lunatic? Do these sentences string together meaningfully? Am I drifting from my original focus? That doubt. It feels familiar, it feels like the doubt we have when we look at a compiler. We want it to be perfect, we want it to be rational, We want it to understand us, but maybe we are just as messy as the code we write. Maybe the only way forward is to accept that we are not fully rational, that we are not fully logical, that we are building things with our hands, not just our minds. And maybe that's okay. Maybe the error is where the truth lies. True presence requires letting the moment pass without trying to trap it in a record. That's Smorgasbord on the regular for today. Find the essay and sources at Inertia Podcast, pages, dev. Until next time.